الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام
الحمد لله we are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى for this great opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir this 10th day of Ramadan this Friday the 10th day of Ramadan 1447 years after the hijrah of our noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. In the masjid of the Bilal at the Amina school, Boso behind Boso Primary School, and Boso local government area of Niger State, Nigeria. Inshallah ta'ala, we shall continue from where we stopped. We are still reading Surah Al-Ma'idah. And in Surah Al-Ma'idah, we have read up to the fifth verse. We are going to conclude the fifth verse. We just started it, but we didn't conclude the explanation of the verse. So inshallah ta'ala, we shall conclude that today and continue the idnillah, if Allah permits us. So I think we'll recite it again.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفسه اليوم أحل لكم الطيبات وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم وطعامكم حل لهم والمؤصنات من المؤمنات والمؤصنات من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم إذا آتيتموهن أجورهن لا مؤسنين غير مسافحين ولا متخذين أخدان ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين
الحمد الطيبات وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم وطعامكم حل لهم والمحصنات من المؤمنات والمحصنات من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم إذا آتيتموهن أجورهن محصنين غير مسافحين ولا متخذي أخدان ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. Like I said, we started explaining this verse. So اليوم أحل لكم الطيبات وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم. I think we have explained that.
نعم.
وطعامكم حل لهم. We have also explained that a little.
نعم.
والمحصنات من المؤمنات I think we have talked about that too
نعم
والمحصنات من الذين أوتوا الكتاب
نعم
we have looked at what the ulama say المحصنات are amongst the أهل الكتاب then all these Allah is saying they are halal for us but then he puts a condition says إذا آتيتموهن أجورهن if you have given them their مهور that is their bride price so this is the one inshallah ta'ala we are looking at today our alim is saying jawaza nikah al amati bi sharti an takuna mu'minatan wa jawaza aktharuhum nikah al amati al kitabiyyah al harbiyyah wa qala ibn abbas la yajuzu wa qara'a qatil alladhina la yu'minuna billah. So we have read all of this hatta yu'tu al jizyata an yadin wa hum saghirun. Fa mana'a al jizya halla lana nisa'uhu to the end. Then we come to the thing. إذا آتيتموهن أجورهن. All those women we have mentioned before, the mu'minas amongst the Muslims. Because there is also the issue of marrying a Muslimah who is a zaniya. Is it permissible? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithin. Al-Tayyibuna lil-Tayyibin. Al-Tayyibatu lil-Ali. Al-Tayyibuna lil-Tayyibat, right? Al-Tayyibatu lil-Tayyibin. Al-Tayyibuna lil-Tayyibat. Like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that from amongst the men, the chaste amongst the men are for the chaste amongst the women, and vice versa. The chaste amongst the women are for the chaste amongst the men. So even if they are Muslimas, it's not supposed to be that a Muslim will go and get a zaniya, a woman who is a zaniya, and then marry her, or a bagui and marry her. That is not what it's supposed to be. But then, is it halal? Even if a woman is a zaniya, is it halal for a Muslim to marry her? If she's a Muslimah, yes, it is. But that is not the best thing. The best thing is that you marry the one that is as chaste as you. But what if you are also not chaste? Then you do not deserve the ones that are not chaste, that are chaste. So if you are not chaste, then you deserve the ones that are like you. But then if you marry a chaste woman, there's nothing wrong with it, as long as you are a mu'mina. So there is no much about that. But then, the problem comes when the woman is a non-Muslimah. If you're marrying a Kitabiyya, the one that is a Nasraniya or a Yahudiya, the one that's a Jew or a Christian, you want to marry her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they have to be al-muhsanat min al-ladhina utul kitab. If it's from the Ahlul Kitab, then it's the condition that they be muhsanat. That's how majority of the ulama understand it. But like we have seen, there are some ulama who have the opinion that even if she's a zaniya, there is nothing wrong with it. So he says, إِذَا آتَيْتُ مُهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ that is مُهُورَهُنَّ مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ أي غَيْرَ مُعَالِمِينَ بِالزِّنَى وَلَا مُتَّخِذِي أَخْدَانَ. Now if you are talking of the ones that are muhsanat amongst them are the ones you are supposed to marry. Like we said, some ulama say they don't have to be muhsanat, but then some disagree. Those who disagree are more, and their opinion supersedes that of the other. Ordinarily, if she is a zaniya, you should not marry her until she has repented and left that that path. ذهب أكثر العلماء إلى أن المراد منهن الحرائر. First of all, the majority say المحصنات are the ones that are free, not slaves. وأجازوا نكاح كل حرة مؤمنة كانت أو كتابية. If she is not a slave, then majority of the ulama say it is halal to marry her, whether she is a free girl or a slave. sorry, whether she's a mu'mina or a kitabiyya, whether she's a Jew or Christian or a mu'mina, as long as she's not a slave, they say it's halal. Fajiratan kanat aw afifatan. They say whether she is unchaste or she is chaste. This is the opinion of Mujahid. وقال هؤلاء لا يجوز للمسلم نكاح الأمة الكتابية. But these ones say if she is a slave girl and she is a kitabiya, then it's not permissible for a Muslim to marry her. Why? Because Allah says فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. So if they are fatayat, then they have to be مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, then they have to be mu'minat. So they have to be Muslims if they are مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, that is if they are slaves. جَوَّزَ نِكَاحَ الْأَمَةِ بِشَرْطِ أَنْ تَكُونَ مُؤْمِنًا. But then some say you can marry the slave girl if she's a mu'mina only. If she's not a mu'mina, if she's a kafira, if she's a slave girl, you can't marry her. وَجَوَّزَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ نِكَاحَ الْأَمَةِ الْكِتَابِيَّةِ الْحَرْبِيَّةِ. Even the ones that we fight, if she is a slave girl from them, non-Muslim, some say you can marry أكثرهم, majority of them say you can marry even a slave girl if she is a kitabiya, whether she is a slave or free. Ibn Abbas says لا يجوز, you cannot marry. الله أعلم. Then قاتل, and he says قاتل الذين لا يؤمنون بالله حتى يؤتى الجزية عن يد وهم صاغرون. So after that has been settled, then we say okay, now we say we can't marry the slave girls amongst them, but we can marry the free. Or preferably, and the opinion that is stronger is that the ones that are zaniyat amongst them, you should not marry them. But the ones that are chaste amongst them, you should marry. Even amongst Muslims, I don't know how many people here will be ready to marry a prostitute, even amongst Muslims. If you can, raise up your hand. Huh? If you would like to marry a prostitute, raise up your hand. Maybe we have some for you. So, the expected thing is that most Muslims would not like to marry even a Muslimah who is a prostitute, let alone when she's not a Muslimah. It's even worse, because there is kufr and there is also zina. And you know, there is fear in the fact that if you marry a kafira, if you are not lucky, some of your children will become kuffar. I have a friend, I've been trying to get to him, his wife has been making it impossible for me to get to him. When I get him, she's the one that picks the call and she never connects us. That person is a Muslim, we performed Hajj with him, but his wife is a kafira and all his children are kuffar. So in the whole house, he's the only one that's a Muslim. Now he is old, he's back home, he has left service. I'm trying to get in touch with him so that at least we can be talking once in a while, but they don't even allow me to get to him on phone. Only Allah knows the state in which he is now. And that is because he married a kafira. And now see how she has turned his house. His children are all kuffar. A'udhu billah. So even when she's a kafira, in the first place you are afraid to marry her, even if she's chaste, because of the issue of religion. Let alone when she's not chaste again, that is even worse. Because if she's not chaste, it is very possible that while she is your wife, she'll be sleeping out with men. And you find that at the end, most of the children she has in your house are not yours. Because we can see the program that they show on TV, their court programs where they go to court and they are fighting for paternity. This one will say, he's my son. The woman will say, no, he's not his son. Even though she was his wife when she had the son, but she'll be bold enough to come and say, it's not his son. And they were married though, and she'll say, it's not his son. And when they do paternity test, sometimes it will actually show that the boy is not his son. It's somebody else's son. And she knew it all the while, but she was married to him. So because of such reasons, it's not advisable at all. Even if the woman is a Muslim, let alone when she is a kafira. وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ وَلَا أَمَةٌ
مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ أُولَئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ.
So that iman, first of all, is more important than anything. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, after the iman, first of all, if she has iman, she'll be more appealing to you. But after her iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Az-zani la yankihu illa zaniyatan aw mushrikatan. Nikah here, whether it is referring to sexual intercourse alone or whether it's referring to marriage, which of the two, because ulama disagree on this. Az-zani la yankihu illa zaniyatan, the person who is a zani, who is not chaste, who is a promiscuous, who is a philandra, or in fact the worst one is if he is what now, the married man who commits if he is adulterer, he should not marry except a mushrika or a zaniya. Because Allah says mushrika, ulama says this is talking about conjugation only. That he cannot commit zina with a mu'mina unless she be a mushrika, or if she's a Muslim, then she's a zaniya. So she's not a mu'mina, she's just a Muslima. But a mu'mina, you cannot commit zina with her, because a mu'mina would not commit zina. Just like a mu'min male will also not commit zina. La yazni zani hina yazni wa huwa mu'min. The zani will not commit zina while he is a mu'min. So the iman, a lot of the iman will fall at the time that one is committing zina. Did this follow? Is it okay like this? Isn't it better with Leticia? Yeah?
Doesn't have hand.
Oh.
You need to put it on another hand.
Something happened to the handle. How much is this one?
20 marks.
Sheikh Ismail, tell us now, how much is it? $20. Between $15,000 and $20,000. We need this thing. Before we close, we hope that you give us money to buy this thing. Do you promise? We need between $15,000 and $20,000 to buy this thing. Please. Before we close, we want it before we close. Or should we say that if you don't give us money, we won't come tomorrow? So honestly, our advice would be that if you want to marry, first of all, it should be a mu'mina. If you can get the non-Muslims to become Muslims, then you are encouraged to marry those ones so that they will stay in Islam. But if they are not yet Muslims, what is wrong with marrying the Muslimat? What is wrong with the Muslimat that you leave them and go and be marrying Christians or be marrying Jews? And at the end of the day, this kind of thing happens to your family. So, but when you want to marry, whether it's a Muslima, even if it's a Muslima, it's important for you to be particular about her chastity, that she should not be a zania. It's better that she is not a zania. If she was a zania and she has repented, you no longer call her zania now. So zania is referring to the one who has not repented, who is still committing zina. Then that one you are not encouraged to marry. But if you marry her, nobody will say the marriage is invalid. The marriage is valid, but it's not the best thing that you do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all these marriages you can conduct, إِذَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ, if you have given them their mahar. What is their mahar? What we call bride price, right?
Yeah.
Huh? Uh-huh. In the madhab of an Imam Malik, the ajr that you give, the sadaq that you give the woman you want to marry is what? Rubu'u dinar. At least rubu'u dinar. But it has no maximum. Isn't it? What is the equivalent of rubu'u dinar now? What is the equivalent now? I know that there are some people that send it online every week. The ones that the committee or something calculates. And every week they send it out. I don't know what the last estimation is now. But I used to know that it used to be about 200,000 or a little over 200,000 or a little less. That is if you are calculating with gold, in gold. People who turn it to silver, their own is much less, should be like 20 something thousand or thereabout, not up to 50 now, I'm sure. That is for those who give themselves the trouble of all that calculation, of that rubu'u dinar and so on. For Abu Hanifa, it's even more. But what the Sunnah teaches is that the sadaq has no maximum and it has no minimum. There is no minimum, there is no maximum. So anything that is precious, anything that is valued by the people can be a sadaq. I'm saying anything here, not referring only to the tangible. It doesn't even have to be tangible. Ajr that you give a woman when you want.
If you look at Sunan Abi Dawud, you'll find
a hadith in which the Sahaba would say that when the mut'ah was permissible, they used to put their thumbs together like this. They would peel them both, just like in Madam with the Nabi. They would peel them both with dates, and they would give that as sadaq to marry a woman temporarily. When it was permissible, for 1 year or for 3 months or whatever. When mut'ah was cancelled, when mut'ah was abrogated, that sadaq still could hold. That means they were still permitted to give only that amount as sadaq for the woman that they will marry permanently. No more mut'ah, but then that was still holding. I hope you are understanding what I'm saying. So that according to that report, if you fill your palms with dates like this, that will be enough at mahar. So about how much will that be now? If you fill your palms like this with dates. Date now, mut is how much?
4,000.
So if you fill your palms like this, how many times will that fill the mut?
Four times. Okay.
About four times. Maybe 3.5 times, right? Okay. So that means one is about 1,000 or a little over 1,000. That means if you fill your palms like this, one will be about a little over 1,000 naira. So you can give that as sadaqah. The Sahaba used to give that much as sadaqah. But then there is a hadith in Bukhari in which a woman came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and said, I would like to marry. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam raised his face, looked at her, and then put back his face down and did not say anything. So that what the Sahaba understood was that he was not interested in the marriage. Isn't it?
No.
So a Sahabi now got up and said, it looks like you are not interested in her. And the Prophet did not say, no, I didn't say that. Which means he was confirming it, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Which means he was confirming that he was not interested. So he said, if you are not interested, I am interested. So this is what you do when you seek marriage. When somebody is in before you, wait for him. If it works for him, it is haram for you to come in and compete with him. If it has worked for him, that means the woman likes him, he likes her, he has been accepted at home, is not right now for you to come in again. Because he has now been recognized as the one that will marry her. You should stay away. But at the time he's showing interest, you can also show interest. He comes to say, I would like to marry you. And you also say, me too, I would like to marry you. And then she looks at you both and say, but I prefer the second one. So you, the first one, should not slap him. You, the first one, should not get angry with him. And don't make him your enemy. What he did is correct in the Sharia. You went to show interest to her parents, and he also came and said he is also interested. So the one that she chooses, the other one should go and look for somebody else. And then the one she chooses should go ahead. But once this one has been accepted, then you don't come in again. So this one waited to see if the Prophet ﷺ would be interested. In the first place, it's not possible for any Muslim to go and show interest in the woman that the Prophet is interested in. Is it possible?
No.
No way. It's not possible. So he waited. When the Prophet ﷺ did not show interest, then he said he's interested. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not say, go and bring rubu' dinar. Did he?
No.
He didn't say so. He didn't say, go and bring dinar. He didn't say, go and bring 10 dirhams. He just said, go and bring what you can. Go and bring something that will give to her. He went and came back and said, I have nothing. He said, go and check. Go and cross check. Try and see. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was telling him by implication. He didn't say so, but by implication. Even if you have to borrow, go and borrow. So that you come and give. He went and he had nothing. So finally, he said, even if it's a ring made from what? Iron. Go and bring. That's the, about the cheapest commodity you can find. Because ring made from iron, I don't think now it's up to 500 naira. Is it? I think they are not up to 500 naira. Those common ones. Maybe 300, 400, like that. So he said, even if it's that one brain. So anyway, if Allah says, إِذَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ, it simply saying, give them something they accept. However, it is better to give them very much. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a woman, the kind of sadaq that now you may have to work for 20 years before you can get it. And you gave one woman a sadaq. So do not use that hadith to be stingy. To be my zalim. Do not use that hadith. In that man's case, he had nothing. لينفق ذو سعة من سعته. ومن قدر عليه رزقه فلينفق مما آتاه الله. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها. إن another آية لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. So Allah does not place on you what a burden that you cannot bear. So if you can bear, please give her as much as you can. Because Allah encourages you to be generous, to give generously, to be kind. So when you want to marry, if it's a non-Muslimah, especially if she's embracing Islam, the way that you can get even her people more attracted to Islam is to be good to her when you're seeking her hand in marriage. To be as generous as you can. So when we marry these days, people are looking for ease. They say, the Prophet said you should make it easy. So even 50,000 is enough. But you want a bed. You want a mattress. You want a bed sheet. You want pillow, you want pillowcase. You want settee. You want fridge. You want all those things. And you would like her to come with them. But all you want to give is 50,000 naira. If all you want to give is just 50,000 naira. Or say 5,000 fair. Some people would like to give 5,000 fair. But you want all those things to come to your house. How? How do you want that magic to happen? It is you that should give. If you don't have, then she should come to you empty. Empty. Should come to you empty. Not even as a blade should she hold. She'll come to you like that, and then you start her from the scratch. Yes, now you buy everything for her. Because الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. So the impact is from you. You are the one that is supposed to be providing. So don't always be lazy and just say you want everything to come to you on a platter of gold. It's not done like that. Work to provide for your wife. And if possible, when you bring her, you know that what the ulama say, A'udhu billah, if there is a divorce, that's not when she's still your wife, or when you have divorced her. They say that if possible, you should buy her like a 15 million naira house. Furnish it and give her like 15 million or 20 million to trade. Isn't it? That is after divorce. So So what will you expect when she steal your wife? What do you expect? If she's your wife, you should do more than that. May Allah have mercy on Sheikh Yusuf Guruntum. May Allah be with that man. I love that man for the sake of Allah. He gave one story one day that he had a ram that he was rearing. And that ram was big. Everybody was looking forward to meat the day they would slaughter it, or money when they sell it. Everybody was looking forward to that. It was a big ram. And one day his wife was in the house. That ram hit his wife, and his wife fell. Subhanallah. And they rushed her to the hospital. So when he heard that this is what his ram did to his wife, A'udhu Billah, he was furious. He went to the hospital. Fortunately, she was not serious. She had been discharged. So he said, I hope you are well. I hope nothing is wrong with you. I hope you are. She said, no, there is no problem. He just hit me and I'm fine. I'm not feeling anything. You are fine? I'm fine. Said, okay, I'm very sorry. Said, no, it's a normal thing. It happens. Don't worry yourself. So he said, that ram, I'm going to slaughter it. Said, because it just hit me. Said, yes, my ram has no right to hit you. So if it hits you, I will slaughter it. Just for slaughtering me, just for hitting me, don't slaughter it, leave it. He said, no, you cannot hit my wife and stay in my house. Said, I will slaughter it, and if I slaughter it, I will not eat any part of its meat. You will eat everything. You, my wife, you eat everything. I will not eat anything of the meat until it finishes. I will not eat anything. Just because he hit me, he said, yes, what right does it have to touch my wife? That's how you should hold your wife. That's how you should be with your wife. That's how much you should care for her. So when you are marrying her, be generous to her. When you have married her, be more generous. So if you can't, you save like 15 million naira for your marriage, and you give her 5 million for that. It's good. And yet, you will still furnish the room in which she's going to stay. If you have enough money, buy her a car. So that even if she's not going to the market, if she's sending somebody to the market, at least she sends the person in her car. Provide for her. Let her be comfortable. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cared for his wife like that. Aisha radiallahu anha stayed a few years with him and she grew fast because he was taking care of her with all that he had. So if you have given them their mahar, then you can marry them. But mahar now, for that you give, is it a condition that you have to give the woman before she comes to your house? No. It can be given on what? You can give it in advance. You can also give it later. You can give it later. It should be named that this is her sadaq. But I don't have it now, no problem. She'll come to your house. When you have it, you give. And the fuqaha of Malikiyah say that you give up to 50 years. You can give the husband up to 50 years to produce the sadaq if he didn't have it at the time of the marriage. For that thing, so you just give it to Sheikh Ismail. How much is it?
15,000.
MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. So you go and buy one. So tomorrow we have one here, inshallah. This is how it should be. Then the others should give some other money. You know, these things that are organized, there is a lot of money that is spent, but people do not realize. They just come, and think that da'wah is free of charge, fi sabilillah. Yes, it is fi sabilillah, but then there is a lot of money that goes into da'wah. A lot of money that you spend for these things you see us do, for transporting ourselves to the place and back, and so many things that people do. There is money a lot that people spend. So people need to be supporting the da'wah that is done so that these things will continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our provision. So the sadaq can be given after. It can be given before. It's better to give it before if you can. These conditions of giving after is when somebody cannot afford. When somebody does not have, then you make it easy for him. The way the sunnah shows sadaq, the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that when somebody says he wants to marry, you say bring so-so amount. If he says I cannot, then you say okay, bring so-so. You lessen it for him. You continue like that until you get to the lowest, the thing that almost everybody can afford. That's how it should be done. So the parents too, when somebody comes and you say, bring 5 million naira, and he says, I cannot afford it. Do not insist, do not say, you cannot afford 5 million and you want to marry. No, it's not so. It shouldn't be done like that. That's not the sunnah. If you do it like that, you have left the sunnah. The sunnah is if you say, bring this amount, the person says, I cannot afford. You say, okay, bring, you name something less than that. If he says, I cannot afford it, bring something less than that. Until you get to the last, the lowest. If he cannot afford any money, okay, teach her some verses of the Quran. You don't know any of this, then you are not qualified to marry. So the disqualification now will be because the person does not know the deen, not because he does not have money. I hope this is understood. Like in Surah Al-Mumta'ina or Mumta'ana, what is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the mu'minat that leave kufr and come to Islam? They come into the mu'minun. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. إِذَا جَاءَكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتُ مُهَاجِرَاتٍ فَامْتَحِنُوهُنَّ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِإِيمَانِهِنَّ فَإِنْ عَلِمْتُمُوهُنَّ مُؤْمِنَاتٍ فَلَا تَرْجِعُوهُنَّ إِلَى الْكُفَّارِ لَا هُنَّ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنَّ وَآتُوهُنَّ. لا, we haven't got to that yet. We haven't gone to that yet. La hunna illam wa lahum yahilluna lahunna. Wa atuhum ma anfaqu. Wa la junaha alaykum. That's the one I've been looking for. Wa la junaha alaykum an tankihuhunna idha ataytumuhunna ujurahun. That's the one I've been looking for. وَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ تَنْكِحُوهُنَّ إِذَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ. So sadaq is very necessary for nikah. It's very necessary for nikah. When you have the sadaq, then the nikah will hold. If you do not have sadaq, the nikah can still hold if you will pay later. Or you have been permitted to use something that is not tangible as the zakah. Maybe they say teach her the Quran, or teach her this, or teach her that, or teach her ahkamun nikah, and that will be okay for her, things like that. If you have been given that concession and you can, then it's easy. When you have taught her, you have paid. But she will be your wife, you sleep with her even before you are able to do all of that. Once you have agreed, so she comes to you and you have given the ajr. Whether she's a mu'mina or not, the same thing will apply. Whatever she permits, she will take from you as the sadaq. If she insists on 100 million naira and you can afford it, then you have to give that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ. So he says, غَيْرَ مُعَالِمِينَ بِالزِّنَى. So there should be a people, there should be women that are not known to be promiscuous. وَلَا مُتَّخِذِي أَخْدَانَ. And they do not be, they should not be openly promiscuous, meaning that they should not be of easy virtue, or at least they should not be promiscuous. Either they are women of easy virtue, you know what that means, they are not prostitutes, and even if they are not prostitutes, they are not promiscuous. You do not hold them as girlfriends, that you just stay temporarily with them and do whatever you want. You do not hold them as that. You hold them as wives that you will live with. So as the judge says, حرم الله الدماء على جهة السفاح وعلى جهة اتخاذ السبيطة وأحله على جهة الإحسان والتزوج. So simple, the thing is, she comes as a chaste woman, you marry her and you stay with her as your wife. And when you marry in Islam, you want to stay forever. There is no temporary marriage is cancelled, is not permissible. And so the only marriage you can engage in is the one that you stay with the woman with the intention of staying with her for life. So you don't marry a woman when you know that, okay, it's because you are in America, you want marriage so that they will leave you with your green card and things like that. When you want to leave America, you leave her there and you come here because in the first place, you have no intention of staying with her as a wife forever. That is zina, it's not marriage. It's not marriage. So be careful. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. قال مقاتل بن خيان يقول ليس إحسان المسلمين إياهن بالذي يخرجهن من الكفر أو يعني عنهن شيئا أو يغني عنهن شيئا وهي للناس عامة. So when you say ومن يكفر بالإيمان, الكفر بالإيمان هي. Ulama say, if you were a mu'min, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. قال ابن عباس ومجاهد في معنى قوله وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ أي بِاللَّهِ الَّذِي يَجِبُ الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ. So al-Iman here, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ أي وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ. So al-Iman here could mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ, if somebody was a Muslim and then the person becomes a kafir, or in the first place the person does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qad kafara billahi, that's one. Al-Kalbi says al-Iman huna kalimatu tawheed. So وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, meaning whoever does not believe in la ilaha illallah, وهي شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. وقال مقاتل بما أنزل على محمد. Whoever disbelieves in what was sent to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, وهو القرآن, and that's the Quran. So all of these, do they differ from one another? They are one and the same thing. If somebody disbelieves Allah, will he believe the Quran? If somebody believes the Quran, will he disbelieve Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? If somebody believes Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, will he disbelieve la ilaha illallah? It's not possible. All of these go together. So will he disbelieve the last day? No. So when Allah says وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ, all that iman means will fall under this statement. So al-Iman an tu'mina billahi وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر. ومن يكفر بالقدر ومن يكفر باليوم الآخر ومن يكفر بالملائكة ومن يكفر بالقرآن بكتب الله ومن يكفر بالله all of these ومن يكفر برسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. So if somebody says today I do not believe, or sorry, he does not believe in the last day, or he does not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, or anything, if he did anything good before, it's all null and void now. So even these kuffar, they're engaging in humanitarian services, but if they do not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, all that they do is null and void. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَسَرَابٍ بِقِيْئَةٍ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. So that's how it should be. قال مقاتل بما أنزل على محمد وهو القرآن صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن يكفر بالإيمان أي يستحل الحرام ويحرم الحلال. So كفر is also for you to see that which is halal and you say it is haram, or that which is haram you say it is halal. How do people make haram halal, or how do people make halal haram? Let me give us one example that is common amongst us. If your elder or you have a daughter, your kid brother has a son, the son, your kid brother's son sees your daughter and he says he wants to marry her, what do you say? What do many of our people say today? Huh? Say, car abomination. That's your sister now. How can you marry your sister? Is it Allah that made it haram? Eh? We are the ones that are making it haram. If you make what is halal haram, the ulama say you do not believe in Allah. So they see it as ridda, as living Islam. For you to declare what is halal as haram, for you to declare what is haram as halal, he said to you it is halal, that's kufr. So whoever does this, all the good things he has done will be null and void. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. On the day of resurrection, he'll be amongst the losers. Huh? If you are a loser on the day of judgment, then you'll be in hell forever. مَنْ كَسَبَ بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ
فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا
خَالِدُونَ. So you'll be amongst those ones. كسب سيئة هي إذ كسب كفرا. May we not be amongst them. So إن شاء الله تعالى ابن عباس says خسر الثواب. All the rewards that he should get he has lost. So on يوم الآخر he has no reward at all. وما لهم في الآخرة من خلاق. May we not be among them. So we are through with this ayah إن شاء الله as much as we can. إن شاء الله تعالى tomorrow we start from يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة. I thought we were going to take that today. I didn't expect at all that this would take us this much time. So إن شاء الله we'll stop here. May Allah forgive our mistakes. May Allah return security to this nation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and guide our children. May He secure our nation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know, may He enrich us with that which will suffice us so that we do not need to look for it from any other person. May we provide for ourselves and the independence of anybody. Instead, may Allah make us those who give and not those who receive. Our first question says, I would like clarification regarding the ruling on custom. If a person is originally resident in Kaduna, but secures a job in Niger State, where he spends only weekdays for work and returns to Kaduna on weekends, and he has not yet made a final decision to permanently relocate to Niger State, is he considered a traveler each time he is in Niger State? Yes. Yes. Each time he goes to Niger, comes to Niger, he is a traveler. Since his family is not in Niger, can he continuously perform qasr prayers while staying there during the weekdays? Yes. Because while there, he is not a resident. He is a traveler. He is on transit. Does the fact that he has not made the intention to permanently relocate affect the ruling? It remains the same that he is a traveler while there. Wallahu ta'ala ala. This one says, in such dire cases when one has no option than to take on haram, just like the example you gave 3 days ago regarding haram meat, by the time one finally gets halal, does he need to make tawbah for those haram consumptions before? No. At the time you took the haram, it was halal. It was temporarily halal. Since it was halal, there is no tawbah. You are not offending Allah. You were doing what Allah permitted you to do. Do you understand? So there is no tawbah. This one says, can someone who travels to another community within a state spend sometimes a week, 2 or 3, still fast? Once you say you travel, if you are traveling, if you are on transit, you are a traveler. If you have gotten to the town that you traveled to, and you are no longer traveling anywhere, you are staying there now. I don't know your ruling when you have gotten there, as far as fasting is concerned. But as far as qasr is concerned, I know that you can still continue qasr until the time you come back. But fasting, must you stop keeping your fast? Must you continue fasting, or can you still stay out of fasting because that is not your place of residence? I don't know that. Sure.
Come on.
Help us if you know.
Ask Allah.
Please help us if you know.
Wallahu a'lam.
You don't know, sir. Me, I don't know. I don't know. Can some? Okay, I think that's the question. Go. This one says, can he spend sometimes a week, 2 or 3, still fast, and observe his or her qasr in the month of Ramadan, whenever he sets for the journey? If it's qasr, you can still continue to be performing the qasr, and it falls in the month of Ramadan, and if no, what should he do? I think I've answered this question.
No.
Then this one says, may Allah preserve me on khair, and you too. My question is, when following Imam in Salah, should we recite our own Fatiha? If the Imam is not reciting aloud, then you must recite Fatiha. You must recite Fatiha if you have the time. You know, some Imams, if they are not reciting aloud, you do not have the time to recite Fatiha. Because before you get to Malik Yawm al-Din, they have done ruku. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Very many imams are like that. When you start Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, before you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, you are done ruku. But if he is performing in Maghrib, the first two rakat, the Fatiha are fantastic. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm Al-Din. To the end, he will recite well. But when it is the last rakah of Maghrib, the one that you cannot hear, before you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you have done ruku. So you start wondering, how is he doing it? If he's keeping Fatiha in that last one, or if he's still reciting Fatiha the way he recites Allah, Allah, Imam should fear Allah. Imam should fear Allah. So if you are reciting, if you are not reciting aloud, if the imam is not reciting aloud, then you must recite Fatiha. If he gives you the time, you must recite it. But if he is reciting aloud, the best thing is to listen to his recital and to be quiet. If you have an imam, his qira'ah is enough for you, suffice it. This one says, there are ulama who have a contrary opinion, but I say that the one I gave you now is the most sound. That's why I just limited my fatwa to it. But there are ulama who say that if the imam is reciting Fatiha aloud, you should also recite.
No.
Aloud, yes. There are ulama who say that. Abu Huraira is one of them. And Imam al-Bukhari also has that opinion. There are many ulama who have that opinion. But then, the other one that you should listen is better. It's closer to the sunnah, Allahu A'lam. May Allah unite you and your parents in the most highest places in Jannah. Ameen. And you too. Ya Sheikh. That is talking to me. He says, please help us use this medium to pray for our wives. Indeed, they overwork in this mosque. If you are reading my Facebook account, you will see that I posted something on our wife today, and I prayed for them. And we need to continue praying for them, because our wives are really doing a wonderful job in the month of Ramadan. So please, if you can, save like 500,000 naira. Before the end of Ramadan, give it to her and say, you can use this one to take your water. Do you promise? Inshallah. So may Allah reward them abundantly. They are really doing the way that women run the house, whether it is Ramadan or not. It's a wonderful thing, wallahi. If you want to know that, if your wife has a baby that's 2 weeks old and she wants to go and see her parents, ask her to leave the child with you before she will go and come back. You will be mad before she comes back. Even if it's not 2 week old child, the children that are 6 years, 7 years, if she leaves them with you, you stay with them at home 2 hours before she comes back. Allah, you are insane. You will lose your mind, you will lose your voice. And that's what women face every day. So women need our prayers. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra." Be nice to your wife. May Allah bless them. May Allah forgive their mistakes. May Allah reward them abundantly. And may Allah enrich us and make us generous enough to be very generous to them too. Now, I think we are through for today. Allahumma qasim lana min khashyatika ma tahawlu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatika wa min ta'atika ma tuballighuna bihi jannata wa min al-yaqini ma tuhawwinu bihi alayna masa'ib al-dunya wa matti'na Allahumma bi asma'ina wa absarina wa quwatina abadan ma ahyaytana wa ja'alhu al-waritha minna wa ja'al fa'rana ala man zalamana wa ansurna ala man adana wa la taj'al musibatana fi dinina wa la taj'al al-dunya akbar همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وأنت خير الناس